felt like the Lord has a word for this body, and it's that He is showing us, and He is going to show us how to become satisfied. Satisfied with Him. And that's going to bring healing to us. It's going to bring lots and lots of healing. Because it's going to bring joy to us. We're going to be satisfied with Him, which will bring joy. And so we can ask ourselves throughout the day, are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? We want to become really aware of His presence. This is one way. This is a way to do it. So he's saying this is the way to do it. Ask yourself throughout the day, are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with how you just answered that person? Are you satisfied with what you're doing right now? Are you satisfied with how things are going right now? Are you satisfied? Because if the answer is yes, that means that He's in it. And if the answer is no, then that means we can repent and He can come into it. He can come into the situation. So, it's a good thing to be satisfied all day, every day. And the more we're satisfied, the greater presence, the greater healing, the greater love.
Never want to cut you short. Well, I have raised 5 children. I taught school for 9 years from K-4 through 12th grade. I think I have about 22 grandkids. That might have gone up another number. I'm not sure. 3 great-grandkids. And in the last week, I watched Janiah's 5 kids while she answered subplace phones. So with all of that experience, I just want you to know that I don't know anything. Totally have no advice for you mothers. God bless you. I admire you. And I'm so glad Harvey's coming home and she's going to raise her own kids again. I've lost my temper. I've been impatient, stressed, extremely worn out and tired. And I have a headache still this morning. So I do not want to raise kids again. And all my wisdom and experience and all my advice didn't help me a whole lot. It's been a very difficult week. Maybe I'm just too old. I don't know. But so I'm going to preach to myself this morning and you can listen in because I need it. I feel about as... in fact, I wasn't going to preach because I've just had such a hard week, you know, and all my great advice about get up early, start the day with God, it doesn't work. They're up when I'm up, you know. And so you grab a minute here and grab a minute there, and it's like my determination in the morning to make sure that I partner with God and we do everything, you know, that in His presence while we do things, it's really, I didn't succeed in that very well. So I wasn't going to speak this morning at all. I was just going to sit back and say, I got a headache, so, you know, where'd Gary go? I told him he needed to preach. But as I was just soaking, God is so good. He's so merciful. And He just showed up so present and said, just share. Just share what I gave you. It's not up to you to be spiritual. It's up to me. And He's here, and He will bless. So, Father, we just give this time to You, and we ask You, sweet Holy Spirit, to come and do what only You can do. Enter our minds and in our emotions and our spirits and just draw us into Your presence like You've already done that. But we ask You to open Your word up. Lord, without Your heart, none of it makes any sense. So we need Your heart. We need Your love. We need You. We just ask You to quicken, bring life to these words in the name of Jesus. Turn to Proverbs chapter 2.
My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, Yes, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He lays up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Then shall you understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yes, every good path. When wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, discretion shall preserve you, understanding shall keep you.
I've read these verses a lot of times, and I love knowledge. I love to study. I love to know everything. I mean, I hate it when there's something I can't know. I just say, God, I want to know, I want to know, I want to know. I'm a mystery solver and seeker, and I want to know. And you know, in John 17, it says to know God is eternal life. Eternal life is to know experientially, to know God, to know him. It's not just to know his word, just to know the things of God. But we can gain knowledge of God by reading his word. And we need to do that. And it says that we need to hide the commandments with us. If you just read it and walk away, that's not going to help your life. But there's principles in the word. If you live those principles, they work. To hide the commandments is to learn the word, to know it, to memorize it maybe, but to understand the concepts of the word and to live by the word. When the word says a soft answer turns away wrath, that works. There's a spirit of wrath. And God said when you come up to battle that spirit, you have to battle it with a soft answer. That's the power that breaks the power of wrath. That'll work for you. Knowing that, living that, it will work for you. There's verses on tithing your money. You can know those verses and you can practice them. If you tithe, God opens the windows of heaven and he pours out blessings to you. It works. There's things you can know by reading and knowing the Word of God, by hiding the Word of God, learning it, and living it. You can know the Word. But to have wisdom. Wisdom is to know how and when to apply the Word. Wisdom is to know what to do with all that knowledge. You can gain wisdom by praying. It says if you cry out for wisdom, he will give it to you. James says, any man who lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Lord that gives freely to all men. But don't be double-minded, because if you doubt the thought that came with wisdom, it doesn't help you. But you can have wisdom by asking. Ask God for wisdom. Okay, I know some things, but how do I apply these things? How do I use this knowledge? When? The practical application, God will give you that. But something else stood out to me. There's a mystery part here. And that's in this part. That's in verse 2, the second part, where it says, apply your heart to understanding. Apply your heart to understanding. We might know the Word of God, and we might be obeying the Word of God, but we don't even understand what we're doing until we apply our heart. Applying our heart is where love comes in. So when God says, forgive your enemy, I could do that by choice. I could say, how do I forgive my enemy? And get the wisdom to do that. But it isn't going to make any sense to me. There's no understanding of that rule until I apply the heart of love. Applying the heart of God's love to his word, to the knowledge, to the wisdom. Once his heart of love comes into it, then we understand. Then we truly understand the ways of God and the power of love. Love is very powerful. So we can find churches all over the country that have a lot of knowledge, that are doing a lot of good things. They might have food pantries. They might be clothing the poor. They might be meeting and getting together and helping people with their needs. They might be doing all the works of God without the heart of God in its powerless. Because God is love. God wants us to move to the point of love. You don't really know God until you move into that heart of love. You don't have any power in the things you do. They can't reach inside of somebody until a heart of love is applied. The heart of love must go along with the works of God for there to be any power. So you can give food and clothing to a poor man, and he's still lost. He's still miserable. He's still lonely. He's still not helped, because only the power of love can go inside of him and change him. There is power in love. The power of love is what you need in order for you to know who you are. The power of love is what changes us in inner healing. It's not the knowledge of what happened to you. It's not just the knowledge of what your mom or dad said to you or what the abuser did to you and I chose to forgive him. That's all the pathway. That's knowledge. That's wisdom. That's the pathway that opens it up for the love of God to come in and transform us. So we need to come into the face of God. We need, and the word says cry out for understanding. The understanding only comes with the heart, with the love, with the presence. And God said to cry out for the understanding. God, I want more than to just do right. I want more than to just be blessed. I want more than knowledge, more than wisdom. I've got to have your heart. Now, it also goes on to say that the Lord gives wisdom, and out of his mouth comes understanding. Without the intimate relationship with God, we don't get the power, the love. We don't get that. So out of his mouth, you have to get close enough to hear his word, close enough for God to be talking to you. God wants to talk to us. We're not very good at listening. Like I said, I'm preaching to myself. There's times that I want God to partner with me in what I'm doing, but I don't want to go spend any time just being with him, hanging out with him. I'm just like, come on, God, I need to go do this. Go with me. You know? It's like, I'm leading and I want him to bless. Harvey always says, stop asking God to bless what you're doing. Get in on what he's doing. But that causes a need to slow down. We have to slow down. We have to seek him. Ultimately, it's all about the relationship with him. And it will affect everything we do. It affects how we work. It affects how we clean. It affects how we raise our children. It affects how we do our job. It affects everything. It has to originate from the relationship with God. I do understand this week more than ever how overwhelming life can be. I mean, okay, I'm kind of spoiled. You know, my kids are all raised and I don't have to go out and work a job. And my normal life is I get to spend up 2, 3, 4 hours in the morning with God as long as I want. You know, that's pretty cool. I like that. But I understand that's not your life. That's not the reality of where you live every day. You've got kids screaming. You've got your sleepless and babies crying. You've got jobs. You've got work. You've got pressure. You've got things on your mind. God, I don't want to say he's making me because I like working on this game. I really enjoy it. But it keeps getting harder and harder and harder and becoming a job. I sat down and analyzed this phone app, this iPad phone application. You know, it's like started so simple. Design a character who wants to lose weight. And every pound she loses, the enemy, their nemesis over here, gains five. And then as she loses weight, he gets big and he blows up. Sounds like a lot of fun. But we have to design a man. And we have to have a white man and a black man and a tan man. And then we have to have a woman. And we not only have to have a white woman and a tan woman and a black woman, but all those women want 4 colors of hair choice and length and eye color. I mean, women are not easy. And then we have to have 2 teenage boys. Then we have to have 2, well, we probably have to have 4 teenage girls because they're women, you know? They're just as picky. And then they probably, if they don't like the outfit, aren't even going to play, you know? They've got to like the outfit too, right, Shayla? So when you think about that, now I've got like this 15 or 20 characters. And I have to design each one of them at every weight change. As they lose, as they gain, I have to design new bodies and new clothing to match all these changes. And then as they're having conversations, I have to keep changing facial expressions on their different size faces. I sat down and figured it out the other day, and just in bodies alone, I need 130 body designs with clothing changes. And I went, this stopped being fun today. This is a job, and that's only one of the games out of 3. So it became a job. It became very mind-boggling. It became very time-consuming. And and it became like 4, 5, 6 hours a day, I analyzed it and said, oh, wow, I've got to get 10 character bodies designed per week. So this is a job. I like it. It's awesome when you like your job, but it still takes a lot of thought, a lot of time, a lot of work. And I'm like, God, I don't want a job. I like just being free to minister and hang out with you and pray for people. And I like that. Why you give me a job? I didn't want a job. Because I needed to know where you're living. I needed to know the stress and the pressure of your daily life. I needed to remember that. And because of that, instead of just hanging out for hours with God, my brain starts going, I've got to get to work. I have to get to work. Of course I want God to work with me, but, you know, I got to go. God, are you coming? You know, it gets to that kind of a lifestyle, and that is, it's really hard. It's really hard. And God is so good. He is so good. Because you know what the bottom line is? Relationship. Relationship with your boss, relationship with your mate, relationship with those children, relationship. And when I'm yelling at the kids, just sit down and watch that movie because I need to read my Bible. No, you need relationship with the kids. You need to be bringing God into everything and hanging out with God in everything. That is hard, but it's our goal. Because if your focus was, okay, this is what I have, a house full of kids, how do I enjoy God with the kids? How do I enjoy the kids? How do I have the relationship with them and enjoy them? Yesterday, I was all signed up to take Sahara to start ballet. Janai and I talked about it the night before. We've talked about it. We think she's ready for it, you know, and it's so cute. And it's my dream. I wanted to dance. I was a dancer when I was young. I loved dance. But my sister was 2 years older, so she went to ballet and I didn't. And by the time I was old enough, it was like, oh, we already did that adventure. Didn't work. She didn't work out well in ballet. We're not doing that again. I wanted to dance. I didn't get to go. Praise God I didn't get to go. Praise God I did not get to take ballet because I got to free dance. I like to dance in the spirit. I like to dance with the wind. I like to dance with the angels, and they don't ballet all the time, you know? So as we were talking about taking her to ballet on Friday night, Janiah said, well, we have to slick her hair back in this perfect bun, no strings hanging, no hairs hanging on her face, you know? And then she's got to wear this color, pink tights, pink leotard. She's got to have tap shoes. And, I mean, there's all this, what she has to have, how she has to look. And we were thinking about that. Part of the reason is because they teach the whole group of them to look the same, move at the same moment, stay in their coordinated patterns, and do everything exactly the way they're shown. So on Saturday morning, I get up, and I'm supposed to take her, and I am just so troubled about it. And I went, God, am I too lazy? I don't want to go take her. Is it the money? What is it, you know? And finally, he said, I don't want her to take ballet. I went, wow, I never asked you about that, you know? What do you want her to do? He said, I want her to dance with the wind. I want her to learn to know me and dance unto me in worship. So I went over and made Sahara cry and said, we're not taking ballet. We're going to go outside and dance with the wind. And that's what we did, she and Timpy and I. We went outside and we imitated wind and we imitated leaves worshiping and we imitated a rock just so we could appreciate getting to be a human because rocks didn't get to do anything, you know. And we just went out and we danced with nature because nature all praises God. Nature knows God. So everything, that was probably my best moment of the week because I gave it to God with the kids. Not avoiding them, but with them. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to live in His presence, at work, on the job, with the family. And that, I'm not telling you not to read the Word, because that's your food, you have to eat. But sometimes it's more important just to be with God in relationship with another person than it is to go and have your 2 hours of study time. God in everything. His heart is the understanding. His love is the power. When we come into His presence, everything changes. all the problems melt. The peace comes on us. He loves us when we most think we've disappointed Him. And we come into His presence saying, oh gosh, I am so sorry. I am so ashamed. I am so wicked. And He just goes, I love you. I believe in you. I love you. In His presence is where we find out who we are. In His presence is where we get the confidence to do what we're born to do. In His presence is where we get the power and anointing to do what He's called us to do. His love, His acceptance, to know just the power of knowing you're wanted, just knowing you're wanted, knowing you're accepted, knowing somebody gets excited about seeing you walk into the room. God gets excited every time we turn our attention to Him. Just to say, going along and I'm thinking and I'm troubled and I'm planning and I'm worrying and I go, hey God. He gets excited because we acknowledge Him. Hannah brought a word this morning. How satisfied are you? God is satisfied. He satisfies us when we hunger for His presence. But Ken has been bringing a different word too. We've been in the Father heart of God. We still need the Father heart of God. We need the mothering of God. But we need the sistering and brothering. We need the sistering and brothering. We need to know that our sisters and brothers love us no matter what. And we don't know that. You know, a friendship is really not strong until it goes to disillusionment. We have to get disillusioned with each other because that's where the reality begins, whether or not you've got a friendship. When you first meet somebody, you're going in there shining. You know, I'm going to show you my best. I'm going to show you all my good features. I'm going to put on my best manners. I'm going to be kind and patient. That's what we're doing because we want to be accepted. But the more time you spend together, the more that facade drops off. We quit wearing that mask and we start seeing each other's sin nature, failures and faults, disappointing each other, disillusioned with who we thought that person was. Because they were trying to show us who they wanted to be instead of who they are. And I'm not saying this, just walk up and say, hey, I'm rude, like it or not, want to be my friend. You know, that's not going to get you any friends. My granddaughter Taylor, the little hot redhead, when she was tiny, she was so sweet, so passionate. She'd walk up to kids and say, you want to be my friend? And if they said no, bam! You'll be my friend or you'll be my enemy. That's your choice. So, of course, we want to be nice and kind and polite. But the longer you know somebody, you will be disillusioned with them. You're going to be, because you're going to see their sin nature. They're going to fail you when you wanted them to be there and they weren't. They're going to let you down. And if you still love them and forgive them, even if they're not sorry, then you might have a chance of building a real friendship. Because if you love somebody after seeing all their faults, I had a card from a friend one time years ago that said, I am the best friend you're ever going to have because I've seen all your faults and I still love you. If I've already seen all your faults and I still love you, we're friends. That's true. That's real, you know. So disillusionment's a good thing. That's where your reality begins. That's where the reality. What do you do with the disillusionment then? What do we do with it? What we do with it is we go home and gossip. We go home and say, I can't believe they did that. I would never do that, you know. They're just not a good friend. I can't believe they didn't do this for me. We gossip. But what should we do? If we're truly a friend, we accept who they are. We love and appreciate what they do. And we pray for their weaknesses. We pray for them. We do not tear them down. In doing this game, I work in a Corel version on my computer, and it's the only thing I know. And today everybody's gone to Adobe, and I don't have a clue how to do that program. So we have to send it all over to this cousin of my daughter, somebody that works for him. And they change it into another format so we can send it to the manufacturer. Well, they weren't answering our emails. They weren't doing their work. They weren't coming up with what they needed to do. And my daughter and I are both like, you want that done today? I'll start yesterday. You know, we get things done. This guy's not even answering our emails for 2 weeks. So Jamie and I we're going to let him go. We're just going to have to let him go. He's not on the ball. He's not part of the team. He's not going to work, you know, and griping. He is so slow. I can't believe he's not doing it. Griping and griping. And God said, you're cursing him. You're just cursing him. the more you gripe against him, the worse he's going to get. Why don't you pray for him? I went, oh, yeah. So I called Jamie, I emailed her, and I said, let's pray for him. And we say, God, please bless him. Please help him get all of his work done, his other jobs he's on. Please forgive him for procrastinating. Please give him zeal about what he's doing here. Please give him the talent and the skill and the time, and bless this man. We heard from him the very next day, and we've heard from him every day since he's on the job. So when we pray for our friends, we pray for our enemies, we pray for the person who's destroying our life, pray for them and release God to go and change them. That's love. That's understanding. That is understanding the heart of God, which is always out to love, set free, deliver, and look for the best and work for the best in someone. So be satisfied in God. Be satisfied. If you're not satisfied, it's because you're not close enough, because he's satisfied. His love is satisfying. And we need to try to just live from the heart of God, which we're not capable of unless we're in his presence, crying out for his heart to be in us toward everyone, even our enemies. Only love, only love. Love has the power to transform someone. Sin has the power to kill them. And when all we do is release the cursing, we're killing them. We're just giving them to the enemy spirits. We're releasing those spirits against them. I need to bring up Israel again today because we're so close to that vote, and Israel is on God's heart. And I sent most of you an email. If I have your email, I sent you an email that the leader in Iran was talking about how pleased he is with countries like Egypt, you know, overthrowing and now becoming Muslim, and telling them, do not listen to America and Britain. Don't listen to those countries. Stay Muslim. Stay Muslim. And in it, near the end of it, I only pulled a few excerpts out, but near the end of it, they said because they are, somehow they worded it, because they want to get rid of Israel. They want to get rid of Israel. They want to annihilate Israel. And that vote is coming up for them to take away more of the Holy Land from Israel. And if America stands against Israel, we are in big trouble. But it's not just about America in big trouble. God loves Israel. And sometimes I don't know what to pray for Israel. And I just say, God, I know you love Israel. I don't have the heart you have for Israel. But cry out for his heart. God, I give you my heart. You can weep through me. You can pray through me. I will let you pray for Israel. If you don't move on me, all I can pray is what you said in your word. I pray for the peace of Israel. I pray that Israel turns to you and believes in Christ. But give him your heart. Give him time to pray for Israel. It's precious to God. And Israel is really on the hot plate right now. And America's part of the country of the United Nations coming against us.